Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide episode 112. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company again. And if you're joining us for the first time, great to have you on board. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the proud editor of techguide.com.au. And this week we're coming to you from Berlin, the site of the annual IFA Consumer Technology Show. We'll talk about what we can expect to see here. Apple has also confirmed the launch event for the new iPhones, which will be on September 9. And it's a good chance the iWatch might make its very first appearance as well. Telstra is also hard at work at the next phase of its 4G network. And in the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at LG's new G-Pad 10.1 tablet and Jabra's new Sports Pulse wireless earphones that can also measure your pulse. And we'll finish off with a Tech Guide help desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Plenty to talk about, so let's get cracking. Well, we've just landed in Berlin, the site of IFA, which is an annual consumer electronics event. IFA is short for, and pardon my German, Internationale Funkausstellung, which is German for the Berlin Radio Show. So that's where IFA gets its name. So we have just landed. Now, this is an annual event. We've been here for the last couple of years. And it is the event where, which is the timing of it, is obviously a few months out from Christmas and companies really their last chance to really have a grand opening, a grand launch of their new products in the rush to get it into market ahead of Christmas. Now, this year is no exception. There's going to be some major product announcements made here from companies like Samsung and Sony and Panasonic and LG. There's many companies here that are going to use IFA as the launch platform for some pretty major products. Now, there have been some pre-releases, some previews, some sneak previews on what we can expect to see. And, of course, there's going to be a few surprises as well. Kicking it off with Samsung, they traditionally use IFA to launch their latest Galaxy Note smartphone. Last year, when they were here, they launched the Galaxy Note 3. And they have sent out a few weeks ago now invitations with some pretty unsubtle clues on what we can expect to see, which would be no doubt the Galaxy Note 4. They've also pre-announced the Samsung Galaxy Alpha. It's another smartphone which will no doubt be on display here at IFA. That is the device that we're expecting to go head-to-head with the iPhone. But one other thing that Samsung have also pre-announced is a new smartwatch. This is the the Gear S. And S, I think, might stand for Solo because it's got its own 3G modem on board. So in other words, it doesn't need to be connected to a smartphone for you to have that connectivity to send and receive messages and also to make and receive calls. So the Gear S, and it's got a circular rounded screen, an AMOLED screen. It's a 2-inch screen, so it's got a gentle curve, so it obviously fits the shape of your wrist. So we'll be excited to have a look at that. It's apparently got a 1 gigahertz processor on board and a 300 milliamp hour battery that will run for 2 days. Also releasing a smartwatch is LG. Now, they've just recently released, you may recall, the G Watch, which is their initial launch into the smartwatch category. And that was the first device to be running the Android Wear operating system that's been created by Google. Well, their latest version is called the G-Watch R, and this is going to have a circular face. Now, at first glance, this is going to look like a regular phone. Not a regular phone, a regular watch, a regular smartwatch. And it has a round screen, as I mentioned, but not any old screen. It's an OLED screen, a 1.3-inch circular plastic OLED screen that actually uses 100% of the display's surface area so that it can present the biggest display possible. It's powered by a 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 400 processor. That's got some serious processing power. Also running Android Wear as it was with the previous model. It's also waterproof. It's got 4 gig of internal memory, a 410 milliamp hour battery, and we can expect to see it in the fourth quarter of 2014. The Gear S from Samsung will be released globally in October. That's our information. But LG have also been busily pre-announcing some products that we're going to be seeing here at IFA. And another another product that was announced was their new 4K OLED TV, one of the world's first 4K TVs that's also with using the OLED format, which is the organic light emitting diode format, which LG have already got a curved OLED in the market, a 55-inch model. Picture quality superb. The OLED, the OLED category lends itself to very thin panels because it's all organic light emitting diode means it produces its own light, so it doesn't need a backlight. And the display that we saw with their previous model was only 4 millimeters thick, quite a screen, and just dazzling to look at, amazing blacks and really accurate bright colors. So LG will be one of the first to market with not only an OLED TV but a 4K OLED TV. There's going to be a 77-inch model, a 65-inch model as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing that on LG's stand. I think it's going to be quite a device. Just on Samsung again, the Galaxy Note 4, I think I mentioned earlier, that is going to be the star of the pre-launch event called Unpacked that Samsung traditionally has on the eve of IFA here every year. And rumors are that it will have a even larger screen, possibly a 5.9-inch screen, as well as obviously having its S Pen so you can write on the screen. That's where it gets its Note name from. May also inherit the Galaxy S5's fingerprint reader and may also be waterproof as well. That seems to be a popular feature now among smartphones is being waterproof. We know that the Sony Xperia Z2 from Sony continues that tradition that was introduced firstly with the Xperia Z and the Z1. I think Sony will have some announcement here as well. They're no doubt going to be expanding on their mobile product line, audio product line, cameras. So they're going to have quite a presence here at IFA as well. There's also other companies like TCL are going to show off their brand new 4K televisions too, and all your other major companies. This is a big show here in Germany. It is like the European version of the Consumer Electronics Show that's held annually in Las Vegas every January. We brought you some Tech Guide episodes from there back earlier in the year. This is the European version that is attended, as I said, by all these major companies. It's going to be an exciting week this week. So stay tuned to Tech Guide, and we're going to keep you updated with all the product announcements right here at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Well, Apple ended all the speculation and confirmed that they will be holding a launch event on September the 9th in San Francisco. It's actually going to be in Cupertino, which is south of San Francisco. It is going to be September the 9th, which is September the 10th at 3 a.m. That's Sydney time, so Australian time in Sydney. The event kicks off 3 a.m. September the 10th. So for those diehard fans who want to see a live, possibly a live stream on Apple TV and possibly also on the website. They haven't confirmed that. They usually announce that the day before. If you want to set the alarm for 3 a.m. on the 10th, you'll be able to see it. Tech Guide will be in San Francisco, in Cupertino, I should say, for the event. So the event kicks off at 10 a.m. local time. And it's going to be an interesting one. The rumors around this have been swirling for months. And we're obviously expecting the new iPhone, possibly two new iPhones, 4.7 inch, 5.5 inch. It's going to be thinner, faster, and brighter screens. We're going to see plenty of new features. It will retain, of course, features like the Touch ID, the fingerprint sensor. It'll also have an improved camera. It'll also have a faster processor. So there's been so much speculation and so many alleged leaked photos that we kind of know what to expect. But the real surprise, I think, is going to be the fact that Apple may use this event as the opportunity to launch the much speculated, much rumored, and highly anticipated iWatch. Now, the rumors about this device have been around for more than a year, and as you heard in our previous segment, smart watches are now becoming a more common product. We've seen LG, Samsung, lots of companies joining the party. So, I think that it's. I'd be surprised if Apple didn't join this growing market segment. And the speculation is they're going to use this event as an opportunity to introduce the iWatch to the world. Now, there's been very little said about what the device will actually look like and what it will actually do. But we can hazard a guess on what we can expect. And I think what we can expect is obviously a device that's going to link wirelessly to your iPhone, possibly also to your iPad. Because it's a wearable device, it's going to track your steps and sleep and all kinds of other kinds of information. May even have a built-in heart rate sensor. We don't know. It will, because you cast your mind back to the Worldwide Developers Conference back in June, and that was where Apple introduced what they called their health kit. Now, this, I think, at the time, was the biggest clue ever that Apple was ready to enter this growing category of wearable devices, health activity bracelets. They're going to create a device that's going to be right there on your wrist. It will allow you to do it. Now, no doubt it'll also allow you to make calls, receive calls, read your messages, use apps, and various functions like that. But what it may also do is you may also cast your mind back to the Worldwide Developers Conference where they were introducing what they called a home kit. Now, this was a protocol that Apple was developing that would give people a standard that would allow devices to be controlled wirelessly using iOS devices. So, in other words, the iWatch may have the home kit recipe on board and be able to control your connected devices in your home through its interface. So rather than having to reach for your device, your phone or your iPad, right there on your wrist, your iWatch may be able to let you do that from there. So makes that an even more convenient and even more powerful device. I think it's going to be quite a significant launch if the iWatch is indeed launched at this venue. And speaking of the venue, it's going to be held at the Flint Center for the Performing Arts, which is on the campus of the De Anza College right there in Cupertino, which is literally three or four blocks from Apple's head office in Cupertino. Now, why is that significant? Well, I'll tell you, it is the site where Apple actually unveiled the original iMac. Not iMac, the original Mac. It's now called the iMac, but the very first Mac computer back in 1984, that's 30 years ago, would you believe, Steve Jobs took to the stage at this very place, the Flint Center for the Performing Arts, to launch the original Mac. So I think there's something pretty important that Apple want to announce. Obviously, all their products they consider important, but that was a milestone launch back in 1984, 30 years ago, and I think it adds some lovely symmetry if Apple indeed chose to launch a brand new category of product, the iWatch, at that same venue as well. So stay tuned. There's going to be plenty more speculation even before the event starts. And as I said, Tech Guide will be on the ground in Cupertino to give you all the announcements, to give you all the coverage and images, some live tweeting and update stories, hands-on reviews of all the new Apple products. So make sure you tune in to Tech Guide. Now, Telstra have been busily preparing their new testing phase for the new, what they're calling the future of 4G. Telstra have been very active in the new low-band spectrum of 700 megahertz. They've already kicked off tests in Perth, also in parts of Queensland, and they're going to do the same in Sydney and Adelaide. Now, they're testing this new low-band spectrum, 700 megahertz, and will hopefully roll it out further across Australia from January 2015. Now, unlike the NextG network, which was launched back in 2006, where that was the 850 megahertz spectrum, and what we found at that time was that there weren't many devices that were compatible with 850. So when Telstra did launch NextG, I think there were two or three products ready to go that could fully capitalize on the NextG's speed and range. Well, it's kind of the opposite story with 700 megahertz, because there's a lot of companies and a lot of other networks around the world that are already utilizing 700 megahertz. So there are already a lot of handsets, a lot of smartphones that are 700 megahertz ready, like the Galaxy S5. The HTC One M8 and the LG G3, as well as the HTC Desire 610. So there's plenty of handsets already, and there's good chance that the new iPhones launched next week may also have 700 megahertz capability. So rather than us waiting and waiting for devices that are compatible, they are already here. Now, why is 700 megahertz so good, I hear you asking? Well, the low band, that 700 megahertz low band used to be occupied, would you believe, by the old analog TV signal. So now that that's been switched off, suddenly Telstra and Optus and Vodafone are bidding for this new spectrum. Telstra has, I think, more than twice the seven holdings of 700 megahertz spectrum than other carriers. So there's obviously a race to get as much of this as possible. Now, the beauty of 700 megahertz being low band is that it offers faster data speeds and also wider bandwidth. One problem we're facing is that more people are getting onto their 4G networks, and it's rather than it choking up the network, sort of clogging up the bandwidth, 700 megahertz is going to come along and add a few lanes to the highway, let's just say. It's going to make it a lot easier for more people to be using the network, downloading more data, using more of that, and the 700 megahertz should be able to handle it at a pinch. Now, other advantages of 700 megahertz is the fact that it has longer range. So the signal can travel further between base stations. So that means less base stations to send that signal around the country. So it is faster and easier to deploy. Other advantages is that it reaches deeper into buildings and structures, so that you'll get a more consistent signal. No dropout calls when you're deep within a shopping center or a big building. So it's going to be a lot better, a lot more consistent service across the board. And as I said, Telstra are not the only ones trialing this. They're just the most recent. Optus are also involved, Vodafone to a lesser extent, but they're all rushing in to grab as much of this 700 megahertz spectrum as they can, because it will be the future. The next generation of the 4G network will no doubt be placed on the 700 megahertz spectrum. If you want to read about that story I've written on Tech Guide, you can do that, and hopefully you already have one of those 700 megahertz phones and can test it out for yourself.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've got the world's first tri-band router, the Nighthawk X6. So just think for a minute how many devices you have in the house, wireless devices. It might be 5, it might be 10, could it be 20? If you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. The latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem, no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Well, we're going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews with the new LG G-Pad 10.1. Now, you cast your mind back to late last year when LG released the G-Pad 8. I think it was the 8.3. Now, that was a handy little device, and I think quite underrated. I thought that was an excellent device. I gave it a very good review on Tech Guide last year. I liked the size. I liked the feel of the product. And LG have now taken that product line further and brought out its big brother, the G-Pad 10.1. Now, this is a handy little device. If you're after a tablet, yeah, 10.1-inch tablet running Android 4.4.2. That's the KitKat operating system. I think the G-Pad is definitely worth your consideration. It's very thin, 8.95 millimeters, and it weighs in at 523 grams. Now, it does feel pretty nice in your hands. It's got a curved back panel available in either red or black. But it does have a 10.1-inch screen with a 16:10 aspect ratio. So it's got a slight, nice widescreen look, perfect for watching movies on the go. But, of course, you can also browse the web, use apps, social media, you name it, check your emails. And, of course, if you turn it on its side, you get that nice, deeper portrait shape screen, great for browsing long websites and things like that. Speaking of the screen, it's 1280x800, which is still classed as high definition, but nowhere near the resolution of LG's excellent G3 smartphone. That was the device that introduced its quad HD resolution. Now, going from the G3, the Android device that we spoke about on the program a few weeks ago, that the screen on that device is excellent. Now, the G-Pad 10.1 doesn't offer the same resolution, so if you are switching from one to the next, you are going to notice the difference quite easily. It's a far cry from the G3 smartphone screen's quality, but nonetheless still clear and sharp enough to use for your browsing, for watching your movies and all those sorts of things, using apps, playing games. It's got a dual core processor on board. It's got a quad core processor on board, a 1.2 gigahertz quad core processor, so it can easily handle that load as well. Now, the features on board the G-Pad, the 10.1, there's a couple of cool ones. I quite like the NOT code that lets you set your own personalized code. So what you can do, this pattern that you set to unlock the device could be either two knocks up to eight knocks. So you can create your own little pattern so that to unlock your device. That's pretty cool. Another handy that I quite like is Q-Pair. Now, this is a feature that allows you to pair your Android smartphone. Doesn't have to be an LG. You pair the Android smartphone to the G-Pad 10.1. Now, what that allows you to do is to see what calls are coming in. You can't answer the calls, but you can screen them so you can reject them and so you know who's calling you. It also gives you updates on any notifications, any text messages you might be receiving, so you can see those notifications quite easily. It also lets you quite easily revert to your smartphone to use it as a hotspot. So once it's connected using Q-Pair, it's very easy to set it up as a personal hotspot in case you need to use to connect on your larger screen outside of Wi-Fi range. Now, what I like about this too, a very attractive feature, is the price. It's only $399, but before I talk about the price any further, I want to mention the battery. It's got an 8,000 milliamp battery that will, if you were to play this constantly playing videos, it will run for 8 hours straight, possibly even longer. Casual use, you'll get a couple of days out of this before you need to reach for the PowerPoint. Would have liked to have seen 802.11ac, unfortunately not. It's got 802.11n. It's also got Bluetooth 4.0. It's also expandable with a micro SD card slot, so you can expand the memory. The onboard memory is 16 gigabytes, but the micro SD card slot lets you expand that up to, I think, 64 gig. Even though there is a 128 gig micro SD card slot, may not work in the G-Pad 10.1, but an extra 64 gig through the micro SD, nothing to sneeze at either. Now, back to the price, it's only $399. That's pretty aggressively priced on LG's part. I think they really want to get some traction here among customers, and I think that's good value, especially for a 10-inch tablet. You normally pay a little bit more than that, so $399. Pretty good value. It's going to be available from Harvey Norman and other leading retail outlets. The reason I mentioned Harvey Norman is because they have exclusive rights to the red G-Pad 10.1. It's also available in black, and that's available at everywhere else. But if you want red, you've got to go to Harvey Norman to get it. LG G-Pad, $399. If you want to read my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, our next product is from Jabra, the very well-respected audio company. They've made some pretty cool headphones and earphones in the past, and their latest is this Sport Pulse wireless earphones. Now, the major difference with this product, of course, they provide excellent audio and allow you to answer your smartphone using the inline remote control and built-in microphone. But this device can also provide something else, your heart rate. There is a special sensor that sits inside your ear and can measure the blood flow just beneath your skin, and that can be interpreted to your heart rate. So now you can get real-time reference to your how well you're training, what sort of heart rate zone you're in. There's an app that also is combined. It's called the Sport Life app, so that can be paired with the headphones as well. They're wireless, so they pair with Bluetooth, so they can not only monitor your heart rate and give you live feedback, but also can track and evaluate your workouts as well. So it does allow people who want to take their fitness seriously to even go to the next level now and have this sort of information relayed to them through their earphones. So traditionally, you'd have to wear a chest strap to get that information, the heart rate, which would then be relayed wirelessly to a watch or other device. But now you can, while you're listening to music, so it completes two functions here, can provide great music, but also take your heart rate as well. There's a sensor in one of the earbuds. They're still quite small. I was surprised how small the earbuds are, and they've got silicon gel tips, so there are several come in the box that makes you ensure you have a comfortable fit. There's also some silicon ear wings, so that holds them in place even more securely. So I think there's three sets of them in the box as well, so you can definitely be rest assured you can have a perfect fit so that the Sport Pulse earphones don't fall out. There's personalized audio coaching. So as I said, you're getting live feedback while you're training. And you can control your music, of course, through the inline remote and through the Sport Life app as well. And because they're going to be used for people while they're training, they're reading their heart rates. It can handle sweat, water, so they can take a fair bit of punishment, dust, high temperatures, you name it. This can take it. So the earbud, as I mentioned, the biometric sensor rests just inside your ear, measures the blood flow, and gives you a fairly accurate heart rate. So if you want to get in the zone, you know exactly what zone you need to get into. The onboard rechargeable battery lasts about 4.5 hours on a full charge, which is quite a long time. You can also do a quick charge. I think 15-minute quick charge will give you another hour or another half an hour. They're going to be released in October. October the 1st, as a matter of fact, they're going to be priced at $249. And if you're keen to read more, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, I got an interesting question sent to the Tech Guide forum, and if you do have a question that you want read out on the Tech Guide Help Desk, or you just want some help, myself and our readers are happy to jump in on the forum and help you solve your problem, give you advice. It's a great way for you to find out extra information and have your questions answered. Well, B. Shepherd has written in and asking advice. I think he's looking to buy the LG 65-inch UB980T Ultra High Definition LED TV. And he says he's just purchased this TV for his theatre room in his new home. In fact, that's the same TV my parents bought just last week for their home as well. And he asks, I have a few questions which I'd love some feedback on. Number one, what sort of sound system, home theatre speakers, in-roof sound would I use to blow myself away during sport and movies? Well, UB980T actually comes with Harman Kardon speakers built in. So out of the box, you're going to have a terrific audio experience. But if you want to take it even further, then I'd suggest maybe investing in a home theater in a box solution, depending on how much you want to spend. We'll get to determine the quality. But if you want to surround yourself with speakers and have the feeling that you're actually there at the game, that's what you need to do. So I'd suggest a surround sound, possibly a 7.1 surround sound system. So that's 7 directional speakers and a subwoofer, and that will absolutely give you the feeling that you're sitting there in the stand. His other question is, he's looking to wall mount the TV, concerned about the cords hanging down the bottom of the screen. Well, traditionally when a TV is mounted, what you do is you create a hole in the wall, cover it with a plate to make it neat, drop the cables down the cavity, and then have them pop out again. Could be easily done. If you're handy enough to do this, you'll need to find the right spot to mount the TV, and B, you need to find the right place to punch the hole in the wall and cover it with a nice plate. I've done that exact thing here in the Tech Guide Studios. And what you do is then you drop all the cables. So you drop the power cable, HDMI cables, and also your Ethernet cables, aerial cable, so that can connect to the back of the TV, drop down, come out behind your entertainment unit, and then connect to your sources, your aerial, and everything like that. So that's how you make it look neat and tidy. The other way, you might be able to buy a conduit. So it's like a pipe that can blend into the wall, maybe paint it the same color as the wall, and that way you can sit on the outside of the wall, run your cables through the pipe, paint it the same color as the wall, and you may not see it. I think it's a bit neater, though, if you go to the trouble of dropping them in down the wall cavity as well. If you got plasterboard, gyprock board, it's quite easy to cut a hole and then install a small wall plate so that it gives the cable entry points a neater look. He also said here, in my new home, we are able to access the national broadband network. What sort of modem would be best for great wireless coverage? Well, as the sponsors of the Tech Guide program, I think you can't go past the Nighthawk X6. So if you want to have excellent wireless coverage in your home, I can't go past recommending Netgear. He also said that, is it worth going through the national broadband network or through a normal company? Well, whatever you feel, I think speed-wise, you're probably going to get a better speed through the NBN, but Optus and Telstra cable plans are also quite good. Well, I've got one right here, the Optus plan, Optus cable, and I'm very happy with the speed. He's also saying he's looking forward to hooking it all up and enjoying the whole experience. Well, you've done well there, Mr. Shepherd, or Mrs. Shepherd, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but as you've got yourself a good television, and hopefully those hints will allow you to enjoy it even further. And that's all we've got time for you for this week. You can read more about everything we've spoken about at techguide.com.au. Don't forget to head over to the forum if you want to have your questions answered, or you might want to help other people with their questions. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week, where we're going to wrap up IFA, all the products we're going to see here in Berlin. We're going to wrap up in episode 113 before we get on the plane to Cupertino for the iPhone launch. So we hope you can join us then. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.